For two decades now, the Virginia-class attack submarine has quietly dominated the world's oceans. It's stealthy, it's deadly, it's packed with enough high-tech wizardry to make even hardened military analysts sit up and take bloody notice. Built to be cheaper than its Seawolf predecessor, but nearly as capable, the Virginia-class has gone on to become the cornerstone of America's undersea fleet and the most produced U.S. attack sub since the Cold War. But here's the thing, this isn't just a story about a successful attack submarine, oh no. It is about a platform that's just so much more than that. It's adaptable, it's versatile, it's so important to US strategy that the Pentagon just can't stop building them, even as delays, backlogs, and rivals start to pile up. So just how good is the Virginia-class really? Is it the best ever built? And if so, how long can it hold the crown? A new sub for a new era. Now, back in the 1990s, the US Navy faced a little bit of a problem. The Cold War was over, and the once fearsome Soviet Navy was now a thing of the past. As a result, America's all-the-bells-and-whistles-no-expense-spared Seawolf-class attack submarines designed to hunt down Typhoon and Akula classes with righteous impunity were now looking like really rather expensive overkill. Consequently, only three Seawolves out of a planned class of 29 were built before the plug was pulled. They were marvels of engineering, absolutely, but they carried an absolutely staggering price tag that just couldn't be justified in a post-Soviet world, even for the US military, which is not exactly known for a small budget. What the Navy needed instead, to use their words, was an attack submarine that was, quote, less expensive and better optimized for post-Cold War missions than the Seawolf-class design. In English, they meant that they wanted something that could do everything that the Seawolf could, just more affordably and with a couple of new features thrown in for good measure. Apparently they had never heard that cake analogy. The Virginia-class, as you've no doubt guessed, was the submarine born from that want, with the lead ship of the class, USS Virginia, being ordered in 1998 and getting commissioned in October 2004. And General Dynamics Electric Boat, the company responsible for the design work, really rolled out the whole multi-mission profile shtick too. During the Cold War, American attack submarines had one primary job: track, and if necessary, attack Soviet subs. They were to do it quickly, cleanly, and oh so quietly. But for the Virginia class, that old remit was expanded to allow it to also serve as a stealthy intel gatherer, a covert SEAL team taxi, and a precision strike platform. That is, rather a lot of different hats for one submarine to wear, certainly, but the Virginia class was designed from the keel up very specifically to be a jack of all trades, a subnautical Swiss Army knife of sorts. As for how they did this, well, don't worry about it right now, we'll come back to look at its design properly later on. Something else General Dynamics were very keen on too was keeping the cost down. Not for any altruism on their part, they were and are a profit-making enterprise, of course. Instead, it was due to the fact that both Congress and the Navy were really not f***ing around with their penny pinching, and any waste on General Dynamics' part would result only in a reduction in their profit margins. As an example, one strategy the aforementioned government bodies tried was so-called multi-year block buys, i.e. only buying a few at a time so that any spikes in unit price could be quickly identified, dissected, and nipped in the bud. This worked too, as when produced at a steady 2 per year clip, each Virginia class came in at roughly $2.5 billion a pop in 2005 dollars, or just shy of $4 billion adjusted for inflation. God damn inflation! This was still a king's ransom, to be sure, but it was notably cheaper than the Seawolves, with the last of that class, the USS Jimmy Carter, costing $3.5 billion when she was first plopped in the drink back in 2005. Come 2011, the Navy had settled into a rhythm of ordering two Virginias per year. It wasn't quite a Cold War pace, as they really knocked them out back in those days, as the 62 Los Angeles classes built in just 24 years can attest to, but it was impressive nonetheless. And thanks to that steady production, the Virginia class quickly became the cornerstone of America's undersea fleet, with, at the time of writing, 24 of them being in commission, just pipping the remaining Los Angeles class boats as the most numerous attack subs in the fleet by a single unit. And the Navy keeps planning to buy them for the foreseeable future too. There currently being plans to build 66 of the things, and production slated to continue for decades still to come. But how did the new sub actually stack up in practice? Well, to answer that, we need to take a closer look at what makes a Virginia tick, from its high-tech innards to its formidable arsenal. Stealth and sensors inside the Virginia-class. On the outside, a Virginia-class submarine looks like a sleek black tube, as submarines tend to do. Unassuming? Perhaps, but looks can be deceiving because crammed within that subaqueous cigar is some seriously high-tech kit. As for dimensions, Virginia comes in at 377 feet long, 34 feet across, and displaces about 7,800 tons submerged. That makes it a bit longer than a football field and around 1,000 tons heavier than its Los Angeles-class forerunners. You do forget how big submarines are, don't you? It's really big. Notably, however, those numbers also make it smaller than a Seawolf, which has a smidge over 1,000 tons on a Virginia. Not to besmirch the Virginia's good name, however, because, like we say, there's some properly advanced shit going on under its hood, and nowhere is this more apparent than in the area of stealth, where it's truly world-class, with the Navy having invested heavily to keep it quieter than anything a potential adversary can put in the water. A big part of those capabilities comes from its propulsion. While the fine details are, of course, classified, it's well known that Virginia-class subs use pump jet propulsors instead of old-school propellers. And if you're wondering what that's all about, they work by drawing in water and forcing it out through an internal nozzle as compared to a traditional propeller, which spins open blades to push water backward. As for why doing it that way is better for stealthiness, pump jets drastically reduce cavitation, which is the sound of bubbles forming and collapsing around the blades, and cavitation is what makes traditional screws noisy at speed. Swap them out, and subs glide like a whisper. Happy days! Add a life-of-the-boat nuclear reactor into the equation, and Virginia will be able to keep on chugging away for 33 years. With a top speed of 25 knots submerged, it can outrun many surface ships while remaining nearly impossible to detect. Nuclear energy is unbelievably cool. One Navy report called this an asymmetric strategic advantage, which in layspeak means a Virginia can be lingering off the coastline of one of Uncle Sam's naughty nations, and there's the best part of bugger all that nation could do about it. The submarine does not live by stealth alone, however. They also need sharp senses and sharper teeth. How fortunate it is, then, that the Virginia-class has all of that good stuff. For weapons, each Virginia-class comes with four 21-inch torpedo tubes capable of firing both traditional MK-48 torpedoes and UGM-84 Harpoon anti-ship missiles, both of them able to maybe take out a destroyer or a frigate in a single hit, and even capital ships if they manage to land enough shots on target. For eyes, its sonar suite includes a massive spherical bow array, flank eyes, and a towed array, giving it a full 360-degree underwater view. These sensors are among the best in the world, sensitive enough to pick up the faint hum of an engine or the churn of another sub screw tens of miles away. In fact, a Virginia can often detect and track an enemy sub long before the other guy even knows that it's in the same ocean. There's also the photonic mast, basically a high-tech periscope replacement that uses cameras, thermal imaging, and sensors instead of a good old-fashioned tube with some mirrors in it. It's more stealthy, it's more capable, more flexible, and it seems like something we'd actually have in the 21st century. Alongside that, every Virginia carries Tomahawks, but the packaging changed over time. On early boats, blocks 1 through 2, there were 12 individual vertical launch tubes in the bow. From blocks 3 onward, the bow was redesigned around 2 large diameter Virginia payload tubes, each tube holding 6 Tomahawks, so it's still 12 total forward, just packaged differently. Starting with block 5, new build Virginias add the 84-foot Virginia payload module, or VPM, 4 large tubes, 7 weapons each, for 28 additional missiles. Combined with forward load, that gives VPM-equipped Virginias the ability to carry around 65 torpedo-sized weapons, roughly a 76% bump. The VPM also bulks the sub out. These later Virginias are 461 feet long and displace around 10,000 tons submerged, more than a Seawolf. The Navy sees this as a fair trade, however, as the VPMs help offset the impending retirement of the 4 Ohio-class cruise missile submarines, which are due to bow out between 2026 and 2028. Bottom line, then, the Virginia-class is a technical masterpiece. There's no ifs, there's no buts. Backlogs and bottlenecks. Building the Virginia fleet. So, designing a world-class submarine? Pretty damn hard. Building dozens of them on time and on budget even harder, and accordingly, the Virginia-class production story has delivered impressive results, but not without hitting a few speed bumps in the road, especially in more recent years. All US Navy submarines are built by a tag team of two shipyards: General Dynamics Electric Boat, who also designed the Virginia-class, if you recall, out of Connecticut, and Huntington Ingalls Newport News Shipbuilding, who, ironically, are based in Virginia. These are the only US yards capable of nuclear submarine construction. Each sub is assembled at one single yard, but major components come from both, keeping both yards fully engaged. For most of the 2010s, this partnership delivered Virginias at a healthy clip of two per year, exactly the rate that the powers that be were ordering them. And then came the 2020s, and it all started to go a bit t***ed up. To begin with, it was just the Columbia-class ballistic missile submarines entering production and taking up precious production resources. But then, just to make things even worse, COVID rolled around and hammered the labor pool and the supply chains. The result? The build rate slid, and it hasn't yet recovered, with it having dropped to around 1.2 boats per year since 2022. The Navy has admitted this freely too, stating in 2024 that Virginia deliveries were running around 24 to 36 months behind schedule. To fix it, the Navy and Congress launched a crash effort to bolster the submarine industrial base. Billions of dollars have gone into expanding fabrication capacity, ramping up supplier resilience, and training thousands of new skilled workers. The Defense Production Act, a law that allows the federal government to prioritize and accelerate the production of critical materials and goods for national defense, was even invoked in 2021 to prioritize key subcomponents. The goal? Return two boats per year by 2028 and eventually hit 2.33 subs per year. That's seven boats every 3 years. Why 2.33 specifically? Well, that would be because the US plans to not only clear its own backlog, but also build a few extra Virginias for Australia, which is slated to buy 3 to 5 of the boats under the AUKUS Pact. And that'll place even more strain on an already maxed out system. And this maxed out system is also pretty fragile. There are over 16,000 suppliers involved in Virginia construction, and about 70% of them are single source vendors, making critical items like nuclear valves or reactor parts. If even one falters, it can delay the entire process. Despite all that, however, the program is far from crisis. It's more sort of nipping things in the bud before they get too bad. Officials say the shipyards can catch up, but they'll need continued support and patience from Congress. And, to be fair, Congress has remained generous, as recent defense budgets have included provisions for multi-year procurement and incremental funding to keep Virginia production moving forward. One thing is for sure, though. The demand ain't slowing. With China's navy expanding fast and tensions rising across the Pacific, there's real pressure to get more of these stealthy warships to sea, and rapidly. Whether the Navy can fix the pipeline in time remains to be seen, but make no mistake, Virginia-class submarines are too valuable to fall behind. The Navy, industry, and Congress all know it, and they're racing to make sure the fleet gets what it needs. Spies, SEALs, and Tomahawks, the Virginia's mission profile. And now, with background construction chaos and tech specs alike all behind us, it's time to take a proper look at what these Virginia classes actually do in depth. As we've already mentioned in passing, they aren't just stealthy killers, they're multi-mission platforms that excel in both peacetime and war. A Virginia can lurk near hostile coastlines for weeks, eavesdropping on communications, monitoring radar activity, and mapping seabed installations, all while remaining essentially invisible. While the specific ins and outs of how they do this are very, very classified, it is known that they often collect data for national intelligence agencies, not just the Navy. The Virginia-class was also built with Special Forces operations in mind too. Its torpedo room is actually reconfigurable and can be specced to house both SEAL teams and their gear, while a built-in lockout chamber allows divers to exit underwater without surfacing. It can also carry a dry deck shelter and add-on module used to deploy SEAL delivery vehicles. Make no mistake, many submarines can do all of that, or some of it these days, so the Virginia-class certainly isn't standout in this regard, but nonetheless, it's still a big deal. The ability to insert a team, remain on station while they do what they do, and then pick them up and vanish without a trace, well, it's really, really cool. Also, the Virginia subs pack some serious firepower, as we've already mentioned. But what we didn't mention was the fact that their Tomahawk missile complement, which gives them serious inland strike capabilities, allow it to reach out to targets between 250 and 1,550 miles away, exact variant depending. Annoyingly, the US Navy seems to be keeping the exact one they carry close to their chest, so we can only gesture wildly at the full Tomahawk range and be like, well, is one of those. one of them. There's a lot. The ground pounding role of its subs is one that the US Navy uses too, quite extensively in fact. They first did it back in the 1991 Gulf War when the USS Louisville and USS Pittsburgh, both Los Angeles classes, sent 12 Tomahawks into Saddam's Iraq between them. From there, they went on to do it in basically every conflict they participated in where an enemy with a coastline was involved, with the Virginia-class's first salvo in anger occurring in April 2018 when the USS John Warner fired six of her Tomahawks into al-Assad's Syria. Of course, though, hunting other submarines and surface ships remains the Virginia's bread and butter, and in that role, it excels. Using its powerful sonar suite and extreme quietness, a Virginia can detect and trail enemy vessels long before it's spotted itself. In training, too, they regularly sink adversary ships before those ships even know they're being tracked. They haven't done this in anger yet, but with rising tensions and increased undersea activity from China and Russia, anyone watch this space, maybe? And the Virginia's toolbox does not stop there, because what we haven't mentioned yet at all is that it can also lay naval mines to deny key passages and conduct covert mapping of harbors or coastal terrain. Both these capabilities are critical when preparing for amphibious operations or monitoring choke points. Taken together, then, this diverse mission mix makes the Virginia-class one of the most flexible warfighting tools in the US arsenal. In peace, they're spies, scouts, and deterrent shadows. In war, they're missile platforms, SEAL transports, and silent killers. And unlike a surface ship, they don't need escorts, bases, or supply fleets to operate. They go where they want, they strike when needed, and they disappear before the enemy can even respond. The greatest submarine. So we've talked a lot about the Virginia class so far, pretty exhaustively. So now, with nothing on that front left to discuss, we'll arrive at the crux of the video. How does it actually compare to everything else out there? You see, the Virginia class doesn't exist in a vacuum. It follows a long line of American attack submarines, competes with the best of Britain, France, and Russia, and is also being watched oh so very closely by China. If this is going to be remembered as the greatest sub of its generation, or maybe even the greatest of all time, then it needs to hold its own against some serious competition. Let's start at home. The Seawolf class is, technically, the higher performer. Bigger, faster, deeper diving, and even stealthier. But it is also expensive, over-specialized, never really got to prove itself, and only three were built before the program was scrapped. The Virginia, on the other hand, was designed to do 90% of what the Seawolf could at around 70% of the price, and to do it while carrying Tomahawks. You lose a bit of raw power, sure, but you gain a boat that's relevant across every domain short of a full-on World War III hunt down and sink everything of theirs that we can find type of scenario. What about the Los Angeles class? It's worth considering, given that 23 of them are still in service. Well, in what likely won't come as much of a surprise to you, given the difference in age and tech, Virginia beats it across the board. It's quieter, better armed, more versatile, the lot. Simple as that. Across the Atlantic, the most comparable peer is the UK's Astute class. Excellent boats, no doubt. Nuclear-powered, equipped with both Tomahawks and Spearfish torpedoes, and uses pump jet propulsion, so it's nice and stealthy. But only seven are being built, so they'll never have the full global capabilities of the Virginia, and their mission load is narrower. That said, as far as NATO attack subs go, the commentariat at large seems convinced that Astutes are probably at a happy second place. France's Suffren class is another high-end contender. It's the latest French attack sub design, with six boats planned in all. Like the Virginia, it's multi-mission, cruise missiles, special forces, long-endurance patrols, but again, smaller fleet and less global range as a result. If the Virginia is cutting-edge fashion that takes the world by storm, Suffren is the boutique copy. Competent, but just never going to be available in the numbers needed to shake the very foundations of geopolitics. And then there's Russia's Yasin class. Fast, heavily armed, and very quiet, by Russian standards. Western analysts do take them seriously, especially the upgraded Yasin M variant, but there are just a handful of them, and the Russian defense industry isn't exactly in great shape after finding itself on day 1,257 and counting of its three-day special military operation into Ukraine. Long story short, on paper, they could be a bit of all right. In reality, though, they're outnumbered and logistically stretched. As for China's offerings, well, now they are the ones to really think about. On paper, their current lineup makes them look like they're on rough parity with France or the UK, at best, with its force comprising of six fresh-off-the-line Type 93s and two older Type 91s, both types being nuclear-powered. In terms of stealth, A Type 91 has the all-star propeller, so it's about as stealthy as a high-visibility jacket, and only a few of the Type 93s have been fitted with pump jets, and it's a similar story with their weapons, as only a few of the latest Type 93s have vertical launch systems. But here's the thing. China's taking subs real seriously, and when China takes something seriously, they tend to get better at it really quickly. Their upcoming design, the Type 95, is already shaping up to be a step change. Rumors and analyst guesses suggest it'll feature far quieter hull construction, a more advanced nuclear reactor, and some kind of fancy ultra-stealthy propulsion system. It'll also likely come with a new suite of flank and towed array sonars, and crucially, vertical launch tubes capable of firing anti-ship or land attack missiles from initial design. If they really nail it with that one, and produce them in decent enough numbers, well, the Virginia class just might find itself with a legitimate challenger. That is, of course, assuming that the Americans don't build something even better in the meantime, which they just might do courtesy of the SSNX class program, the planned future US attack sub. We don't know much about it at all, but the Navy has hinted it'll combine the budget of Seawolf, the flexibility of Virginia, and new tech like directed energy or AI-aided combat systems. However, they are estimating that it'll be hitting the wet stuff in the 2040s, so probably not worth holding your breath over just yet. So with all that said, is the Virginia the best class of submarine of all time? If you aren't bothered about the ones that launch ICBMs to end the world, well, yeah, probably. I mean, at least for now. Thanks for watching.